Welcome to Local Motion, KVNF's weekly public affairs program. I'm Jody Peterson. The Western Slope's natural beauty, lack of crowds, and growing economies draw more and more people to move here each year. But many of them have difficulty finding housing they can afford, whether they're buying a home or renting. More than three quarters of Western Slope residents say that affordable housing is a serious problem in their community, ranking it above crime and infrastructure as a concern. In this edition of Local Motion, we delve into the housing crisis and talk about how it affects communities and families across the KVNF listening area. First, we'll hear from representatives of two local organizations that help people find affordable places to live, mostly in Mesa County and Montrose County. Next, we'll focus in on Paonia, the home of KVNF, located in Delta County, which has seen especially sharp increases in housing costs over the past few years. We'll hear one business owner's experience with trying to find a place to live, and we'll wrap up with perspective from a Paonia realtor who also owns a short-term rental. I first spoke with Erica Weeks, Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity of the San Juans, which serves Montrose, Ouray, and San Miguel counties. I asked her why it's important to have affordable housing and how its lack affects communities and families.
When you're trying to attract people to a town, you start with rentals, and your inventory of rentals has to be substantial enough to be able to get people to move into a community. But if you're trying to keep them in your community, you're trying to keep them as community members, as productive employees who are contributing to your local economy, then you need to have home ownership and home inventory to be able to do that. And of course, you've got to have a span in affordability of those homes that are available. And so your local economy, your local market is going to determine what that looks like. It's going to be different for everybody. When people want to invest in a community, they buy the home. They are there to stay. They have invested in the infrastructure, in the schools, in the parks, in the police and fire protection, in the libraries, and by way of their home. So they're saying, I'm here to stay and be a part of this community. Not just through the taxes that I pay through my home ownership, but also through getting involved with the various aspects of just being in a community, so volunteering or being involved in a church or other civil activities that they can engage in.
How does it benefit an individual or a family to own a home rather than renting?
In home ownership itself, when you look at reasons people want to buy, is it creates an opportunity for a family to build wealth in and of itself, where renting doesn't. There's no equity that's built through renting. It does serve a valid and very good purpose of being able to have people who might not have the resources to be able to invest in a home at the time, or who are moving and trying to figure out where exactly they belong. So the rental units absolutely have that benefit in terms of generating wealth and longevity in a community, and again, investing in that community. The home serves that purpose and value to a family. One of the things I've seen through Habitat for Humanity, and that is talked about a lot through Habitat for Humanity International, is the benefit to children of homeowners, and that is that children are more likely to go to college. They're more likely to have a healthy home environment where they're getting good nutrition, good food. Families just overarchingly have a greater ability to live a healthier lifestyle through home ownership. Family stability is increased and improved through home ownership. People's resources and education is improved through home ownership. You're indicating right there that your community is stronger, your children are stronger, your ability to earn is stronger, your contribution to the community is stronger.
You're talking about housing and how important it can be for community stability and for people to invest in the place that they're living. Are there general things that you can say about the characteristics of a town in which there are not homes that most people can afford to buy into?
I think this is a really interesting question that needs to be talked about more. When you look at culturally what's going on in the United States right now, what I feel is that there's just an underlying frustration with how much division exists overall. And economically, when you think about the growing gap for, you know, median income earners, the gap of poverty, we're as a country right now asking ourselves, what does this mean to us? And so in a community where you do have home ownership and ability to afford as a key barrier for people to integrate into your community, I think it begs the question of who are we and what are we doing and what are we trying to become and what values do we have? And I think that's something that community by community, we all have to ask. And I think we should be asking that. And I think that's part of why the housing questions are at the forefront of political agendas right now, at the forefront of policy discussions, is because it's part of that giant question that we're all asking as a country of who are we, what are our values, and what's that mean for us. I think you see the natural characteristics by community play out, and that's, I think, just self-evident in that it creates a different dynamic per community, and I think that's each community's decision and discussion that they need to have. It's really easy to not think through, you know, why does housing matter? Housing really matters to people that don't have it. If I'm somebody that's blessed with it and it's never been an issue, then, you know, it doesn't matter. But that it is that big question of what are we doing right now as a nation, and how do we answer this question overall? So I think it's going to be interesting to see how that answer plays out over time. And I think it's really fascinating that it's playing out during a time where we're asking so many other cultural questions about who we are as a nation and who has the privilege of being here and who doesn't and what does that look like and who pays the bill and who doesn't and how do we make that work.
We've been talking about the big picture of affordable housing, but how is affordable housing defined? What percentage of gross income spent on housing is considered to be affordable?
There is a percentage of income that just industry standard tries to shoot for, and currently that's 30%. And the premise of the income percentage that you're shooting for housing to fall underneath, is that 30% of your income going to housing is a maximum sustainable level for being able to maintain all of the other aspects of being an adult, so your utility bills, medical bills, food, so forth.
How many people in your service area find that paying for housing eats up more than 30% of their income?
It's a pretty significant number. Ouray County just finished a housing needs assessment. San Miguel County has more data in as well. And the city of Montrose did a housing assessment. We haven't waded through all of that quite yet. We're just in the process of doing that. So the only way I can leave it at this point is that it's a significant amount. And so as an example, the median income in Montrose County is $43,000. And when you look at a median home price in this area, you're above $215,000. Some sources say $230,000. And that median income level is pretty difficult to get into that median home price. And so when you start looking at median income levels in San Miguel and Ouray, you're closer to the $60,000, $65,000 range. And when you look at the median home prices in those two counties, it's completely unaffordable. You cannot purchase a median home in Ouray or San Miguel when you are earning the median income. So the affordability is a huge issue in those two counties. It's a large issue in Montrose as well.
Can we talk a little bit about Habitat for Humanity itself and how it sort of fits into that picture? You know, what does Habitat for Humanity do specifically to address that issue of homeownership?
So what we do is work with families through a partnership model to build homes that meet their ability to pay. Families can apply specifically for whatever home or homes we are constructing, and they agree to partner with us in the construction of those homes, which requires 250 service hours per adult. What we do is create a home that might have a fair market value, and the fair market value is above their ability to pay. So they're still having an affordable mortgage. They've put time and hours, sweat and tears and blood into their home, as well as the homes of other families that are building at the same time or around the same time as they are. So it is a community effort. The community can come out and contribute to building those homes as well. That is an element of our model that helps keep our homes more affordable, so that that gap between fair market value and the homeowner's ability to pay is closed, which actually makes it to where we can build more of those homes together.
How do you determine which people you can serve in terms of income level?
Habitat for Humanity International says that we can serve families who are up to 80% of average median income. There are a lot of professionals, teachers, in some communities, law enforcement officers, firefighters, basically public service, other contributing members of the community who are genuinely in that lower income group. We're looking at in a one-person household, your income limit is $38,160 at 80% AMI. It's pretty easy to see that with a median income overall of $43,000 that we're dealing with probably a significant amount of people that we can serve here.
What about people who make just a little bit too much to qualify to work with Habitat for Humanity for a home? Are there any other solutions or options for people who are kind of in that situation where they don't quite make enough to afford a house, but they make too much to work with Habitat?
So there's another organization, Housing Resources of Western Colorado. They are actually able to serve above 80% AMI. USDA Rural Development has a program where some of their terms and conditions for underwriting loans are expanded to where people who have a little bit more difficulty finding a mortgage would be able to access their dollars. We do a lot of our own mortgaging. We can underwrite people that might not have credit history but have a really good demonstrated payment history.
So how many people are served each year by Habitat for Humanity of the San Juans?
Right now, we're building 4 homes. That's 4 families that will be served through that. And that is an increase from about a 1 home per year model. And that I hope and I think our board is expecting to continue to grow so that our impact continues to grow since the need is so heavy. And then overall, we were founded in 1992. And since then, there have been 52 homes that have been created. And so as we scale up and continue to do what we've done with, you know, our board's commitment to meeting the housing needs in our region, I just ask for the community to get involved and learn more about us and volunteer or look us up online and figure out how you can be part of that solution with us.
And that was Erica Weeks of Habitat for Humanity of the San Juans. If you've just tuned in, this is the Local Motion program, and we're talking about affordable housing on the Western Slope. Next, we'll hear from Abby Brewer, the community organizer with Housing Resources of Western Colorado, which helps residents struggling with housing costs in 12 different counties. This organization provides some low-income housing units, and it also helps residents with home building, housing rehabilitation, weatherization, and financial education. I asked Abby how she sees the need for affordable housing in our region and how its lack affects communities and families.
It's a huge need. I mean, I think that over the past, especially the last 5 years, you can really see the increase of rent and also just sales of homes here. It's just continuing to increase, you know, people moving in and everything else. And we have a gap when it comes to affordable housing in our community. Right now, the city of Montrose is kind of working on that gap analysis, but we do. We have a big gap, and we're seeing more people homeless, as well as kind of the couch surfers or the community members that live with neighbors or friends or family.
What's the impact on a community when there's a high percentage of people that cannot afford housing?
It impacts everyone. I mean, number one, the employers. If you cannot find housing, it's really hard to find employees. That's one of the major things. Also, the schools are impacted. And so when children come in and haven't had a good night's sleep, then test scores go down. Community members also just are stressed out when there's no housing available and they can't sleep at night or get a good shower or get a good meal. So it kind of impacts the whole community.
What are the programs that you provide for affordable housing? You have some affordable rental units, right? And those are mostly located in Grand Valley?
Yeah. So there's about 214 affordable housing units that Housing Resources of Western Colorado manages. And those are all in Mesa County. Right now, there's just multiple waiting lists and multiple families that really want to get into affordable housing in Mesa County.
What happens when people spend more than 30% of their income on their housing costs? Obviously, they have less money available for other needs.
That's a big thing. And so when you're looking at if they have a medical issue, do they choose between their housing and getting their medication, food? Do they choose between getting food or paying their rent or transportation? Do they choose between paying their car payment and their house payment? So these are things that people are struggling with on a daily basis.
Are there other options out there in Western Colorado for people who are having a hard time affording a decent place to live?
There's a lot of programs, but there's a lot of trying to figure out those programs. I mean, you've got Section 8 vouchers, which, you know, the housing authorities usually work with. Every county has a limited supply of housing vouchers. And so these are federal vouchers that can provide a family based on their income to have kind of a voucher for their housing. One of the things that communities could do, and hopefully, is to really advocate to the federal and state to say we need more housing vouchers in our community because of the high rent or the availability of affordable housing. There's no like silver bullet, so to speak, for this affordable housing issue. I really think it's really about a lot of people coming together and trying to figure it out. You know, Habitat for Humanity has an amazing program of, you know, building homes for people. Housing Resources has a kind of a similar program with their self-help in Mesa County. That's one avenue. Housing vouchers is another avenue. I think also just coming together as community and really looking at the need for affordable housing and building those affordable housing units, as well as, you know, looking at other policies that could really kind of mess with this affordable housing. You know, what are the solutions? How many large homes are out there? What kind of vacancies and things like that? But I think it's really going to take everyone in the region to really look at this and compromise on housing in our community if we want to actually stay affordable and have people employed here that can actually live here. Kind of calling community members to continue to talk with, you know, local leaders about that this is an issue. And they want local leaders to continue to talk through this and collaborate and to compromise and really develop a plan to help house as many people as possible. We're all human and we need a house to live in, so to speak. And I think it's a very important for all of us to come together about this issue.
We just heard from Abby Brewer with Housing Resources of Western Colorado. She spoke about the lack of affordable housing on the Western Slope and about some of the ways that's being addressed through various organizations and government programs. The region's housing crisis is especially acute in Paonia and similar towns, such as Telluride, that tend to draw wealthier newcomers seeking outdoor recreation and a higher quality of life. To get a personal view of that dilemma, I spoke with Lisa True, owner of Wink Wink Hair Salon in Paonia. Like many service providers and other professionals, she's having a hard time finding a place to live that fits within her budget.
So I've been actively looking for a rental for about the past 2 months and am finding that not only has the rent doubled since I started renting 4 years ago, but there's very little inventory of attractive rental properties that I can afford. I'm finding myself trying to qualify to get a home loan, but I'm not ready to buy a home yet. I just bought my salon. Rent has doubled in the last 4 years. My prices I charge at the salon would need to double in order for me to afford the rent that's being charged right now. That would be going from $45 a haircut up to $90, which I cannot do in this community. I think there's a lot of rentals that have been taken off the market for VRBOs or Airbnb, which is fine. I get it. If you're going to be a homeowner and you want to make $1,500 a weekend over $1,500 a month, I get that. I just need housing. And I know a lot of other business owners that are looking right now that are contributing to the community with services and trying to take care of our community and not just the tourists. We enjoy them too. But we are here for the community. It's just really hard right now in this area. I don't know what the answer is. I'm just going to continue looking. I have been weighing the option of possibly renting in Hotchkiss. But then again, it's still low inventory down there and the prices are bumping up. I feel like I am needing to move to a bedroom community of some resort town. But we're not a resort town, and we still have our community members, people that live here, people that work here, people that contribute to this community year round. I service them, and I want to be able to continue doing that. I welcome all the newcomers. I think they're great. I think they're wonderful. But yet we still have to look at the community members that have been here and that are finding it hard to thrive and continue making plans to remain here because of the housing crisis. I'm fourth generation North Fork Valley, and I love, love, love being here. I just can't find a place to nest. And maybe it's the amount of VRBOs and Airbnbs, and I don't know how many are out there. I don't even know what that situation is, but I'm finding that when I go out and look, or go even online to look for rentals and pay owner, there are zero. So I have to go through resources and ask friends, hey, do you know of a rental? And I'm wondering if it's going to remain like this. I mean, is this just a sign of things to come?
That was Lisa True, a Paoni business owner. For another perspective on the housing shortage, I spoke with Jay Canode, a realtor with RE/MAX and the owner of a short-term rental in Paonia. As Lisa mentioned, many wonder if the growing popularity of Airbnb, vacation rental by owner, and similar services means that fewer rentals are available for long-term residents. The problem is compounded by steeply rising home prices.
You know, over the past couple of years, there have been some price increases of nearly 50%, which is absolutely huge in a real estate market, especially in such a short amount of time. And so that's caught people off guard. You know, it's all of a sudden, you're seeing some of these starter homes that are around, you know, $200,000. And a lot of these homes require substantial renovation. These are homes that have, for the most part, have been rentals. They've been in the rental pool for the past 15, 25 years. And some of them show that, rentals that really haven't been updated. And so, you know, it's a starter home for $200,000 that also needs a fair amount of updating.
So if these homes have been rentals for so long, why are they coming on the market now?
You own an investment property, and all of a sudden you're seeing that the values that are being assigned to these homes are far more than what you bought them for 5 years ago, 10 years ago. They're seeing the values of their properties inflate so much, and that's very appetizing. It's a good time to sell. You can't really blame anybody who's invests in property. You know, they have it rented for a long time. They recoup some of their investment. And then all of a sudden, you know, they can make a tidy profit by selling this property off. So in terms of availability, there really isn't a heck of a lot of property that's available that fits first-time home buyers' requirements or desires, you know, both in terms of price and in terms of the condition of the property. At the same time, rents for a lot of these homes continue to go up. Each time a house is bought and sold, the price of that house goes up, the mortgage goes up, and thus rent goes up as well. And these days, you know, fair value is surpassing what people can afford. You know, in my personal experience, it's mainly cash buyers coming from the Front Range, and that in and of itself, it's driving the market. I mean, that's why the Paonia market is on fire the way that it is. So the high demand from those folks is creating a problem for the families that have maybe been here for a long time, the kids of the families that have grown up in the valley, you know, all of a sudden are like, well, I want to live here, but I can't because of the way prices have increased.
This is like the classic thing that you see over and over again in communities that are seen as desirable places to live. It's like the longtime locals, the people who provide services,
yes,
like business owners and police and teachers and you know, everyone else has a really hard time
exactly
affording a place to live.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about how Airbnb and VRBO and those kind of rental things play into the lack of affordable rentals. Because I see right now that there's like 30 homes and apartments in Paonia that are on Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
And those theoretically are 30 homes and apartments that are then not available for long-term renters.
Right. But majority of the places that are listed on Airbnb could fall under the category of a rental, a long-term rental that is now out of the long-term rental pool. As a realtor, a lot of the people that I show property to here, especially within the town limits of Paonia, they're not necessarily ready to move here right away. And the first thing they bring up is, well, you know, could we use this as a short-term rental? Is there a market for that? And I kind of I usually can't give a straight answer that yes or no, because the more of these rentals that come on the market, it floods the market and supply and demand, you know, becomes a thing.
Airbnb in the short-term rental market in general, it's sort of a conundrum. I mean, you can't really expect people to say, oh, well, I could make, you know, $3,000 a month with a short-term rental, or I could do a long-term rental and make half of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to ask people to be altruistic that way.
Exactly. It's a free country.
It's driven by demand.
Yeah.
But it also has consequences.
It does. And so people want to try to point the finger at any one culprit. Who's at fault for this whole thing? There's nobody. There's no evil person, you know, that's creating this problem. It's just really what happens when supply and demand reach a point that it prices people out. So many people want to be here and can afford to be here that they're willing to pay more to be here. And that drives the people that can't afford to be here out. And it's the classic Colorado mountain town conundrum. It's happened with all these little mountain towns around here. And it is unfortunate. Other communities have tried to address the problem. And to a small extent, they can. But really, you can't provide workforce housing for all the workforce. There's just not enough resources within a town or county government or even some of the nonprofits that are trying to attack the problem to appease everybody.
What are some of the potential solutions? There's Habitat for Humanity of the San Juans.
For every, you know, one house, one affordable domicile that's built, there's an exponential more number of people that are demanding that need that immediately.
And then there's programs like Space to Create, which is looking at building affordable housing units, mostly focused at people who could broadly be defined as creative.
Yes.
And they're doing that in Paonia and Ridgeway, but each one of those projects is like 25 units. Again, it's just a tiny fraction of the demand.
Yeah.
I mean, that I don't know that there's even an answer to this problem.
I don't think so. You can't just ask somebody that just bought a $300,000 house to charge below market rent based on, you know, what their payments are, or even just based on what they paid for the place. You know, certainly inflation is an issue with regards to not keeping up with wages. You know, there's all these other problems that maybe don't have to do specifically with our local housing market, but have more to do with, you know, the national minimum wage or just what people are paid in general compared to where inflation has gone over the past 20 years. You know, certainly, you know, the data is there. You know, inflation has far surpassed what wages should be at this point.
Yeah, a middle-class wage does not have nearly the buying power that it did 30 or 40 years ago.
Yeah.
What happens to a community when people can't afford to live there unless they're really wealthy? You know, what happens when it prices out so many of our, you know, professionals and business owners and service providers?
Yeah. I moved here 12 years ago and was attracted to this place because a highway didn't run through it. It, you know, it had that down home feel. Neighbors were out and about, friendly, waving, walking. And when people can't afford to live here, when short-term rentals start to be peppered throughout these neighborhoods, you get more transient visitors in here, which has its good and bad. You know, the transient visitors bring money to the area. They're here to check out the wineries and spend money in the restaurants and you know, buy a couple gifts here and there. And many of these folks fall in love with the area and want to be here. So those are the positives. The negatives are your neighbors are gone and they change every couple days. And that changes the feel of a community. You know, a transient community just doesn't have I call it a mojo, I guess. You know, it's unless you've lived in a tight-knit community where people have lived in the same house for more than 20 years and really take pride and stock in their neighborhood, you kind of don't know what that mojo is. But it's certainly different than a couple that's just here for the weekend. They're here to maybe party a little bit. You know, maybe they get a little bit loud in the backyard. But they certainly aren't going to respect their community as much as the people that really invest in it and live here all the time. So those are the negatives, you know, with regards to short-term rentals, and in my opinion anyway, from what I've observed. I don't have anything bad to say about the people that are moving here and inevitably driving the prices up. Demand is high. You can't blame anybody for falling in love with an area. And most of the people that are coming here want to contribute to the community. They love the community for what it is, and they want to try to add to it and make it better. That's a good thing. You know, most people realize what is going on here.
And that was Jay Canode, a Paonia realtor. You've been listening to Local Motion on KVNF, and I'm Jody Peterson. You can also find this program, which discussed affordable housing concerns, on kvnf.org. Thanks for tuning in.